You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, what a day we have coming your way Saturday. We got great hockey, Penguins and Bruins. We got phenomenal basketball, Duke and Carolina. Then the NBA action, Suns and Celtics. And don't miss UFC 299 in Miami. All that coming your way Saturday here on the Family of Networks. Meanwhile, it's been this kind of day here so far here on Get Up. D-Wood, you know, the big fellow.
He's got a little hot and bothered.
Yeah,
he
just got a little upset. He was yelling at Kmart. We were all a little nervous. So we just have to try and make him feel better. And what this has led to, D-Wood, is a request. Like, you're starting a trend here.
Emma.
Yeah, our dear friend Brooke Pryor, who's a regular with us here, says she's asking for the Theragun treatment next time.
I'm shutting this down now. That's
Brooke,
not
I'm
happening.
You, Brooke,
Theragun, get out of here. Nope, absolutely not.
Brooke,
nope.
It is spectacular. I'll advise you.
All this diva behavior in the studio, I'm putting an end
He's
to
like
it.
He's like the Russell Wilson of Get Up now. He's
Do you have beef with me? You have
now,
beef
now
me?
We have beef.
Okay.
Into the second hour, we've got beef.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, we got a terrific squad working today. We got a ton of NFL news we're getting to. We're live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. And here we go. Free agency is right around the corner. We need bold predictions. Let's start with Mike Tannenbaum, who's up with us early this morning. Mike T, give us a bold prediction.
This is for you and I, Gree. Justin Fields is traded and goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is united with Arthur Smith, who did a great job with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. He will thrive with a bountiful amount of weapons that he never had in Chicago. And he leads the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs. I think this is a perfect win-win. Justin Fields to the Steelers, and he's their starter.
I love it. You know that I'm completely on board, though I would never use bountiful. I like it. Dominique, give me a bold prediction.
I got Calvin Ridley going to the New England Patriots. They need some help at a lot of places, but getting a top-level receiver would be a good place to start to try to reclaim the future that we once thought that they had at the quarterback position. So I think that's a good move there. And also, why are we giving all this free advertising to this unnamed massage gun? Let's get it together. Now they got to pay for that? IHOP got to pay. Why they don't got to pay? What's going on?
Listen, I mean, I got a back. What can I tell you?
I got a back.
Calvin Ridley to the Patriots. He would. Give me a bold prediction.
How about Russell Wilson stays in the AFC West and goes to the Raiders?
Hearing a lot of that.
Listen, we talk about this Raiders. They need a quarterback. They could draft a young guy, but Russell Wilson, if you're looking for a place to kind of, you know, obviously get some revenge, exact some revenge on the Broncos and kind of revitalize your career, why don't you go check out Antonio Pierce and company up there in Las Vegas?
I'm intrigued by that one. And Kmart, I'm intrigued by another suggestion you've had.
Damian, I am so disappointed in you. This isn't called lukewarm predictions or mid predictions. It's called bold. Quarterback, right quarterback, wrong team. Russell Wilson goes to the Giants. You know why? The Giants need something. They need an answer quarterback. They have a lot of holes. And Russell is cheap. And Sierra, she can come to New York and hang out.
See, that's what this is all about. that's what this is all about.
But she would do well in Vegas, too, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
She would. A little residencies, yes.
Like you two has and all that kind of stuff at the Sphere. Okay,
Sierra,
but let's be serious.
Would do well anywhere.
We've gotten a little off the tracks. So let's sort of focus in here. Russell Wilson, Raiders, makes some sense. Giants, that would really be bold. I think Justin Fields to the Giants might make a lot of sense, but we will see. There are two separate conversations about Russell Wilson to have right now. Let's start with the player, okay? We're going to get to the Carl Mecklenburg quotes because that part of it, I think, is a different discussion, how people view him as a person. But the player, Dominique, as an evaluator of the game of football, whatever team winds up signing Russell Wilson at a very, very, very bargain price, what are they getting?
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson is a mediocre quarterback, which is not what I would have thought I would be saying a few years ago. He had a really bad season his first year there in Denver. And then last year I thought was, it was nothing special. So I think that's what you have to anticipate. There is hope because you know he showed glimpses of some of those deep ball passes that he throws and some of those scrambles that we remember. So there's hope that he can bring that out every now and then. But generally what you want from Russell at this point is like consistent mistake-free play. The scary thing about Russell, I think adding him to your team, is he's always been someone who likes to hold on to the ball. And it seems like as we go further and further in this league, that seems to be more of an Achilles heel for quarterbacks that they can't come back from, especially guys who don't have elite athleticism. And Russell no longer seems to have high-level athleticism. So I think you're expecting a guy to keep the ship steady, but not be anything like incredible or special.
Well, Mike T, I'll ask you the same question. This was your job to evaluate these guys as a GM in two places. If you're signing Russell Wilson, what do you believe you're getting?
You're getting a part-time starter. Similar to Neek, he's a diminished skill athlete. Hebo gave me a great stat, Greeny. In his seven wins last year, 40% of his passes were at the line of scrimmage or behind, and that's what it looked like on tape. He could still take the occasional shot, but his consistent accuracy just wasn't there. So, again, I think this is going much more towards Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was not handed the job by the Buccaneers. To the Buccaneers and Baker's credit, he earned it, won a playoff game, and now they're off to the races. Russell Wilson is going to be humbled by 31 other teams next week, and I am fascinated to see what he does. But nobody is going to say, hey, here's the starting job.
Well, that's an interesting comparison, because there are a lot of similarities there, not only because they're both, you know, in similar stature, both shorter than most of the other quarterbacks in the NFL, but also because they come with baggage, right? I mean, Baker came with one kind of baggage. Russell comes with a different kind of baggage, and I think that's an important part of the story. So let's put that quote up there that we saw momentarily a moment ago. For those of you not old enough to remember Carl Mecklenburg, he was a very good linebacker on the Broncos for a long time, six-time Pro Bowler, and he went on Twitter and said, Russell Wilson isn't a leader. The foolishness that went on in his first year at Denver with a private coach, his own office at the facility, family at training camp when other players didn't have those privileges, proved his self-centeredness. Now, Carl Mecklenburg is certainly entitled to his opinion, and he's entitled to share it that way if he chooses to. But I think it is a great illustration of how this thing has just gone over the top with Russell Wilson. Somehow he has committed an unforgivable sin. I don't know exactly what it is, of being a goody two-shoes. I mean, the things that people will put up with and excuse from NFL players or star athletes, like serious misconduct, is somehow not dealt with nearly as negatively as the way people are choosing to react to Russell Wilson. I'm not sure I fully understand why. Well, maybe it's not my place to understand what. What is it?
Well, I think things that Dominique said and Mike Tannenbaum said, they use words like mediocre, diminished skilled athlete. And I think that's at the crux of it. Yes, the criticisms of the personality are over the top. But I think we put up with more, or the people in the NFL put up with more, when your skills are top tier. And what we are seeing now is that Russell Wilson is not top tier Russell Wilson anymore. So we, you know, when it comes to the stardom that he has, the skill doesn't match that anymore. And I think he became an easy target. You can critique the football all you want, but I think it's getting a bit overdone now.
Well, I think that's right. You're saying it, and RG3 said it, and D-Wood. I mean, Dominique, I want to come back to you on that, because it's like become fashionable now to just dump on Russell Wilson. I mean, and in really negative, nasty ways. What should we make of that?
I mean, I think honestly, it's like everything is high school and Russell is kind of seen as like not cool. So a lot of people who are not cool try to solidify themselves as cool by bagging on the guy that we've all accepted is like not the cool guy. And so it makes them all feel better because they're on the in crowd. We're at the football table with the cool kids. So I think that's what it boils down to. But none of this comes up, to Kimberly's point, if he is playing well. And we have to accept that there is baggage that comes along with him, whether it's warranted or not. Like, if the worst thing that he does is do high knees in the aisle on an international flight, that's not as bad as, like, some of the criminal things that we've had other guys participate in. So I get your point, Greeny, but I think that's what it boils down to, is a lot of people just wanting to be able to differentiate themselves from the guy who isn't cool and make us believe that they are on the in crowd.
Maybe it is as simple as that. Let me also ask you this, D-Wood, because you played with a lot of very high-profile quarterbacks. Now, when you played with Tom Brady, he wasn't the mega star that he ultimately became, but you were there when Brett Favre came to New York and maybe some others as well. Like, do they get treated differently, like to the extent that Russell Wilson was getting different treatment in Denver?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, listen, I always say that the quarterback is always treated on a different level, but I think it's the quarterback's job to kind of ingratiate himself with with the rest of his teammates. I think, you know, the quarterbacks that I've been around, they really did a really great job of that. It's just basically making themselves, I'm one of you guys. We're all in this thing together. Okay, and I don't know how Russell Wilson ingratiates himself with his teammates, whether it's Seattle or in Denver, but clearly from the lack of responses from teammates and so on and so forth, you get the idea, you get the picture that maybe he didn't do such a great job of ingratiating himself with those guys.
Now we may be working our way a little closer, I think, to, so Dominique, you look skeptical or you're with this?
No. I agree with what D-Wood is saying, but the answer to the question is Cook. If Russ cooks, Russ can do whatever he wants.
That's right.
Always
That's
been
true.
The definition of everything. It's like you ingratiate yourself to your teammates by throwing them touchdown passes and bringing them back from 14-point deficits in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden, everything that you do is quirky and fun. Now it's lame and not cool. That's because they're not winning and he's not playing well.
That's true.
I mean, maybe there's a like them and respect them element there. If you play well enough, you demand respect whether they like you or not.
It all comes back down to the field. Like I always said, like you're not going to get respect from people. Like people don't really respect guys who are bums on the field.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, you got to play well. When you play well, people are willing to overlook quirky things about you.
Mike T, get in here. You were telling us earlier when you were with the Jets and you guys acquired Favre. I mean, he wasn't treated like everybody else.
Yeah, and Carl Meckenberg is just wrong because he lacks that experience, which is Russell Wilson came there as a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They gave up a lot of picks and money for him, and you want to be able to go into your facility and not always be distracted. Like, the best quarterbacks I've been around, very routine-driven, very schedule-driven. This is when I'm meeting with the media. This is when I'm going to do other things, community service requests. And sometimes being in your own locker room is a distraction. One media person may want a one-off request or an autograph request for a teammate. That adds up when you're the star quarterback. So to be able to go someplace where you have peace and quiet is totally reasonable. The other thing to me, Green, that's so interesting, you know, these guys have all mentioned like the verb cook. He has to go cook. I think the verb is humble. Will he humble himself and let's say go to San Francisco or the Rams and invest in the rest of his career and back up a Brock Purdy or a Matthew Stafford?
Well, that's
Russ,
the point.
Backing up Brock Purdy, imagine that world.
Or anyone. I mean, you know, that Russell Wilson, that if that's his reality, he the man has made $300 million.
He's done all right.
He's going to get paid just as much money not to play this year as he would get paid to play this year. There would be very little criticism, certainly none for me, if he just decided, you know what? I could step away from this and move on.
And get me a seat right in between Bishop and Greeny.
We got a spot for him right here if that's what he wants. We'll see. All right. We'll see where that thing goes. It's going to be very interesting. In the meantime, here's another quarterback in the middle of a lot of this conversation. It's a different conversation, but at the end of the day, it is all about where he winds up playing next year. Suddenly, is staying in Chicago a possibility? You need to hear from Shefty, and you will. Plus, have the Giants gotten it all wrong with Daniel Jones? Is it time to draft his replacement right now? We've got a lot to say, and you're going to hear it coming up. Get up, ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back. It's once again time for our favorite game. Would Kmart be shocked? That never gets old. All right, Kmart, would you be shocked if the Steelers decide to ride with Kenny Pickett next year?
Greeny, I would not be shocked because it's the most Steeler thing ever to go into a season with a quarterback there. You're kind of like, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. He could be good. Mike Tomlin, one thing about him, he is loyal to – you need a man like that, a loyal, loyal guy. Huh. He is very loyal to Kenny Pickett, so it wouldn't shock me.
But Mike T, is take me through the thinking on this. If they decide, look, we invested in him, we are invested in developing him, we haven't given up on him, take me through the thinking if you're the people involved in that decision.
Well, you could do both, Greeny. Like, I don't know if he's done enough just to hold on to the job. Like, you could bring in competition. I don't think that would be an unfair result. And then again, like we've talked about multiple times, Greeny, look at Tampa Bay. They got a great result. So having competition at that position, to me, is really appropriate for this team.
I think that's an interesting way to look at it because it really depends who your competition
exactly.
is. Are you bringing in Justin Fields, who you're trading for,
yes.
who also was a young developing player?
It's
well, if you do that, then that's sending one message to Kenny Pickett. And
right.
if you bring in Ryan Tannehill at this stage of his career, it's sending a very different message. Let me get to the next one here, Kmart. Would you be shocked if Saquon Barkley is back on the Giants next year?
Greeny, you know what? I would not be shocked. But I wouldn't like it. Here's the thing. Saquon has always said, I want to retire a Giant. That is the only thing that makes me think, could he decide to stay long-term in New York just because of the emotional attachment? I hope he thinks better and decides, you know what? I've had a good run. It's time for me to make some more money and go to a contender.
Well, wherever it is he winds up, if he does wind up on a contender, because we got into this, but let me narrow it down for you right now, Dominique Foxworth. Is Saquon Barkley the kind of player that can put a team over the top, whether it's the Texans, the Cowboys, those are the two we talked about earlier, or another? Is Saquon Barkley the missing piece for someone to make a legitimate Super Bowl run next year?
Yeah, I think he's a huge piece that would help a lot of teams out. I'm not sure that it would put any team over the top. It depends on how the team uses him. But one of the things, the misconceptions I think about Saquon we have is that he's not necessarily a consistently like successful every down back. And that might be a function of the offensive line or the system that he was in. But like his success rate as a running back is not super high. But he breaks off big plays, which I think is really attractive for a team like the ones you named. I would put the Ravens in that conversation. Also, any team, frankly, that feels like they're in championship contention, having a player like that that can be a one-man drive, it makes everyone's life so much easier.
I mean, look at those numbers. He had 10 touchdowns and over 1,200 yards on a team
that
was on its third-string quarterback for a significant
chunk of the season. And the offensive line is always
offensive line, they draft one every year and they get worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it. Saquon Barkley is still a difference-making player. I came out one more.
Yes.
Would you be shocked if the Giants draft a quarterback high in the first round this year?
I'm going 3 for 3. I would not be shocked, Greeny. You know why? Because Daniel Jones doesn't seem to be it. I left Indy, the scouting command, with the sentiment that most people don't believe the Giants have any faith in Daniel Jones, and they understand they need to upgrade that quarterback position. If it were not for that contract, we wouldn't think that he would even have a spot on this.
Well, we played our friend Rich Eisen, who's pretty plugged in, saying that what he heard at the combine were the words buyer's remorse from the Giants, and that they are very much ready to move on. They are only connected to him financially for one more season. What do you think of that, though, D. Wood? There's two different ways you can go. The Giants have the sixth pick in this draft. You can try and build around what you currently have and try and win games right now, or you use that to draft a quarterback, which is really more of a move toward an uncertain future than it is towards trying to win this season. What does your gut feeling tell you?
So where does Brian Daboll fit into this future?
Right.
That's the prime question in this whole equation, right? Like, you draft the quarterback, I feel like there's no guarantee that Brian Daboll's going to be around to bear the fruit of this quarterback that you draft. So, to me, that's the biggest question that needs to be answered. Where does this current regime stand with the Giants ownership moving forward?
Here's the thing. This Giants regime did not draft Daniel Jones.
Right, right.
That was Dave Gettleman. So if I'm Brian Daboll, I say, okay, I was coaching with the old guy's quarterback. Now we two Buffalo dudes.
But they paid them though. This regime did pay Daniel Jones.
They did.
Yeah, Greedy. Here's the two things about Daniel Jones that if we were running an NFL team, that would be unacceptable. He's played in one full season and he has 46 fumbles. You can't win in the NFL when your quarterback's not durable and he keeps fumbling. They paid him. They have to keep him this year, but they absolutely have to draft a quarterback. To me, it's J.J. McCarthy, because he's the one that realistically could possibly be there. But they have to get another quarterback because they have no chance to win in the NFC year in and year out with an injury-prone quarterback that fumbles the ball.
I understand what you're saying, but Mike T, you also know as well as anybody that sometimes it's not just football. I mean, and everything in life professionally, people do things based on their own survival. And I think D. Wood makes an interesting point. Brian Daboll, it may be in a position right now where if he doesn't win this year, he doesn't have a job anymore. So it may not do him any good to start developing J.J. McCarthy for somebody else, especially with your old buddy Bill Belichick sitting out there watching over all of this, Mike.
Yeah, and again, we have another Damian Woody passive-aggressive infomercial for getting another offensive lineman. I get it. We've run that play for a decade. And yes, they do have to draft their offensive line. But both things can be true. You could go sign a free agent lineman, Greeny, and do what's best for your organization. And by the way, who's to say in 2024 that J.J. McCarthy couldn't outplay Daniel Jones?
Just as an aside, I was never going to say the Giants would draft another offensive lineman.
Well,
they've drafted like a gazillion since the millennium.
Keep drafting them.
No.
They keep drafting offensive linemen in the top 10, and somehow their offensive line gets worse every year. I don't understand what's going on with that. Dominique, how about it? You know as well as anybody that people generally do. Like, this is why you can't have a coach in flux. Yeah, it's a bad setup. Go ahead, Neek.
Right. It's the definition of moral hazard. And I think that drafting a quarterback would be that same situation where you're drafting someone and you don't have to have a ton of success. The bar changes. So if they have Daniel Jones, the expectation is you had a quarterback for a long enough time, we need to have some wins. If you get a quarterback, the expectation changes for Brian Daboll. It's show some promise with this young quarterback and we'll keep you around. But I feel like a broken record. Until people start to believe me, I'm going to keep saying it, that they need the infrastructure. We do not have evidence of, in the history of the league, of very many times you just drop in a quarterback and then everything gets better. That just tends to be not how it works. Build up the team first and then get a mediocre quarterback and he will become good.
All right, we will see how that winds up playing out. We'll hear from Sheffy coming up. In the meantime, let me show you who had some serious flavor last night, D. Wood, brought to you by Hidden Valley Ranch. Here's your guy, SGA.
Hey, there he is.
You love him.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy. That's my MVP right there. He's my GOAT right now.
37 points in the Thunder's win over the Blazers. They've won 8 straight at home. He has 46 30-point games this season that is one shy of the franchise record held by Kevin Durant. Coming up, the D in Big D is for distraction. You'll hear what a former Cowboy had to say about Jerry's World, and we'll see just how upset about it D Wood gets. Plus, sneaky Hembo. This one's for Dominique. Here we go. Which quarterback has the most playoff wins over the Jerry Jones Cowboys? He bought the team in 1989. The answer is next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and here we go. The pressure is all on Dominique Foxworth. Which quarterback has the most playoff wins against the Cowboys since Jerry Jones bought the team in 1989?
All right, so we're thinking great NFC quarterbacks. I'm thinking Favre, Breeze, Rodgers, McNabb, somebody like that. I'm going to go with, Russell Wilson, too. Let's go with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is right. Wow.
Yeah.
I did not think you would get that. And I will tell you, here's the big surprise of it. The answer is Rodgers with two.
Uh-huh.
Meaning no one else has beaten the Cowboys twice, Hembo, in that time. That Favre didn't beat them twice. That is
incredible
to me. I was very surprised.
Wow.
Not that it was Rodgers, but that it was only two times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, chalk that one up for Dominique.
Okay.
He is feeling good. Speaking of the Cowboys, look, no matter how hard I try to move away from this topic, they keep drawing us back in. So yesterday, Dalton Schultz, who was a very good tight end for Dallas for years and is now with the Texans, he's on with McAfee and the crew yesterday, and he was talking about the unique atmosphere the Cowboys have in their practice facility and on game days, and here's what he said.
It's a zoo, dude. There's people tapping on the glass, like trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot, and it's different. And I mean, that's the brand that they've built. That's, you know, that's what Jerry Jones likes. That's the way that they run things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you don't realize like how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap. Like, dude, there's none of that.
So, I mean, look, D. Wood, earlier this morning, I actually had to get my Theragun and try and bring him some relaxation. He was so upset at the very notion that this is a subject that is worthy of discussion. And I think we're all getting a little tired of the Cowboys culture discussion. Is it culture?
Yeah.
Is it the defense? All that we all understand. It's a combination of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what is interesting to me, as I was listening to that again, Dominique, you know as well as anybody from your experience in the NFL Players Association and everything, The NFL forever has been built on not trying to make stars out of the players, right? It's all about the shield. It's all about the team. Yeah. This is the one place where Jerry Jones wants the players' stardom to eclipse, in many cases, perhaps what it even reasonably should be. Yeah. And I do wonder if that has some impact on the result.
And it has paid off, and I think it probably does have some impact on the team. But the point I was trying to make earlier is there are unique circumstances everywhere. Like, it's probably pretty tough to play for the Chargers when you don't really have a legitimate fan base. I'm sure being in New York is difficult for reasons there are of being New York. It's tough being in Jacksonville because people are ignoring you. Like, every situation has its own difficulties. Playing next to Patrick Mahomes means every mistake you make will be amplified. Yes, it's tough. This is a dynamic that they have to deal with in Dallas. To me, Dalton Schultz wasn't saying that's the reason why they lose, and no one's arguing that's the reason why they lose. That just happens to be the unique hurdle that you have to clear when you're in Dallas, whereas other places, they're different challenges.
So, D-Wood, are you willing to accept that as a reasonable conversation? Because earlier this morning, he became very upset. I can have Brandon bring over the Theragun if you still need it, if this is still as upsetting to you as it was earlier today.
No, listen, I think, first of all, he's just describing just how unique the Dallas Cowboys
right. organization. If you're lifting weights and people are tapping on the glass and watching you like you're an animal in the zoo,
that
is that not that that doesn't that's nothing that means nothing?
No, Greeny, I was literally like in shorts with no shirt at a combine.
We literally
like
just
500
had them.
People watch me bench press like. Yeah. That doesn't bother me. None of that stuff bothers me. And so what I like the reason I was upset is like. We're talking about this, and yes, I'm looking up at the lights and everything for some reason. But I'm just like, the Dallas Cowboys, if they're stars, just play like stars. Like, we wouldn't, none of this would be happening. I don't even know why I was even looking up at the lights.
You're looking for reason and logic, but that's the point. If they're stars, would just play like stars when the moment's called for it. And that is what isn't happening, Damian. I think Dalton's overall point is, it's not just football there. And I think in Dallas, we need it to just be about football because they have a winning culture in the regular season.
But you know what?
It would be like when Rex would talk about, oh, we won training camp. That's great, Rex. But when it comes playoff time, it's not about the regular season wins. It's, hey, can you beat Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers?
But you know what? Kimberly?
What,
Jerry Jones,
yes.
Why would you change the formula? Why? You mean no? Hold on. Hear me out.
No, now
here.
I gotta go.
Why
I
would
have
you
to
change
talk to the Lord.
Why would
you can't?
Okay. How much are the Cowboys worth?
No.
They're worth like almost $10 billion.
Okay, but here
you don't think that's not working for Jerry Jones?
It's working for Jerry Jones. But hear me clearly. Is it about winning championships? Or are we just trying to make are we just trying to sell seats? Are we selling seats? Or are we trying to win championships?
You're talking to a billionaire. Like billionaires like to make money.
So then don't say, oh, we're all in on winning. Like that. What is the culture? What is it about?
But like, Kimberly, they've won like 12 games, three straight years.
We're talking about the regular season again. But why do we talk about the Cowboys? Because they have a chance to be a Super Bowl champion, except they just don't.
Let me get
that.
Mike T. I feel like I'm just watching the two of you working out. I'm tapping on the glass like I'm at the Cowboys. Go ahead, final word, Mike
T. Go over there, Damian.
Yeah, Greeny, you've covered very high-profile teams going back to the Bulls. We've seen the Pistons. We've seen the Yankees with Perseides, the Patriots. The common thread with all those stars, listen, D-Wood, this is good stuff. They've won in the postseason, and I think that's the part where this team has fallen short for the last two decades is without postseason success, they have not earned the right to have this platform, and I think that's where this big disconnect is. They're not the Bulls. They're not the Yankees. They're not the Patriots. They can't get to the championship game, let alone win a Super Bowl, and I think that's where a lot of this disconnect is that they haven't earned the right to be on this platform.
Okay, just want to make sure you're okay, big fella, right? You know we love you, and I just don't want you to be too upset. This is upset. This twice today this topic has really gotten to you, and I just want to make sure
here we go.
All right.
More diva behavior.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. I just had to take a seat, man.
When the offensive linemen act like quarterbacks and they want to steal all the spotlight, steal all the cameras, we got the host coming to date. You know, it's
fair
just
enough. Okay, you know what? Let me just leave it there because I have breaking news from the NFL. So let me, excuse me, from the NBA.
Well done, Kimberly.
So let me go to the NBA and some breaking news. Austin Rivers is here. You know what's interesting, Austin? In our first hour today, you told me the team you really believe in in the Western Conference is the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we have this breaking news this morning from our Brian Windhorst. Their star center, Karl Anthony Towns, has a left knee injury. It is described as a meniscus injury and is out indefinitely. The team is evaluating options. Let me run through some numbers here. Towns is averaging 22 points a game. He is the second leading scorer on a team that is tied for first in the Western Conference with OKC. So Anthony Edwards has been that team's star, but Karl Anthony Towns has been their stalwart for what feels like it's approaching a decade at this point. This is by far the best team they've had in that stretch of time. And again, the information that I'm getting, and I'm doing this real time here, is that it is an injury to the meniscus in the left knee. We do not have a definite timeline on his ability to return. This is literally information that's being given to me as we speak, so it is as hot off the presses as it can possibly be. Reaction, Austin Rivers.
This is huge. Well, first off, we have to figure out the level of the meniscus tear.
If indeed it is torn. There's now not a certainty that it is torn, just to make sure that we're clear.
If it is
that
torn,
was the original information we had. Now it's not a certainty, so we're waiting to get to evaluate just how significant the injury is.
Well, if it is a significant tear, then we're looking at an entire change in the landscape of the Western Conference. He is the Batman to Anthony Edwards and Robin. He's vital to this team. I mean, we talked about this team last year not working with the two bigs. They have figured that, you know, equation out. 22 points per game, what he does on offense, what he does for defense, just in terms of size. When we talk about Minnesota being able to compete against Denver, we talk about Rudy Gobert, we talk about Naz Reid, but of course we talk about Karl Anthony Towns. These are guys that they have to anchor this team down. If he's not in the picture, I mean, we're talking about a whole different team here. And I love Naz Reid. That man can play, but Karl Anthony Towns is a whole different level of a player. We're talking about an all-star.
Yeah.
So, you know, this changes everything.
Oh, we're talking about a guy. I mean, I voted for him. I can't remember now if it was second or third team All-NBA last year. That's how good a year that he had and how good of a player he is. And, you know, at a time in the league where we are sort of transitioning from your traditional powers, right, like LeBron and the Lakers, Steph and the Warriors, KD and Phoenix, like, these are the teams. Look at the top of the standings.
I know.
Denver, obviously, they're the defending champs. But the Thunder and the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So there's two ways to look at this. One of them is maybe this takes Minnesota out of the championship mix. The other is it might set up a team up at the top of the standings that isn't nearly as strong as their record would indicate if they are without him. And maybe that opens a door for one of these lower teams to pull off an early win.
You nailed it right on the head. I mean, if he's not in the picture in the playoffs, if you get a Lakers or a Phoenix or Warriors in the eighth spot, and they're going against the Minnesota Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, that's a whole different series now. You know, now we're looking at a probability for an upset of an 8-1. And I'm not saying the Minnesota Timberwolves can't pull it off. I know Anthony Edwards is special. He is dynamic as they come. But Karl Anthony Towns is vital for this team's success. I was there last year with this team. We were a much better team when Karl was on the floor versus when he wasn't. And if he's not in the picture, what he adds in terms of spacing, his shooting ability, his ability to score inside and out, and then his two-man game with Anthony Edwards, it's just vital for their success. And if he's not in this picture, man, you got to think about, well, now the Warriors and these Suns and the Lakers, these teams could easily come in there and compete and beat that team.
I do not think it is criticizing Anthony Edwards or anything about that team to say you take the second most important player off any team in the NBA, and it obviously changes their outlook.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be like talking about the Bucks and Dame's out. I mean, we're talking about a whole different team now. So it's just, this is really unfortunate, man. I mean, this has had they're having a big time year, and this has been huge for the city of Minnesota. This is the first time that they've really had this success since the era of Kevin Garnett. And, you know, you want to see this team and you want to see the small market teams, you know, specifically have success, especially in the postseason. So I hope the tear is not full. I hope he's able to come back soon and compete.
Again, the word that we're getting is that it is a meniscus injury to the left knee. At first, there was some conflicting information about whether or not it was a tear. My understanding now is that it has not been confirmed. So we're waiting to see exactly what the injury is and how significant it is. And once they know that, I'm sure they'll have a sense of, is he out for the rest of the year? Is this something he can come back and play from? How much time would he need? Let's just very quickly to finish up the topic. How much time before the end of the season would he need to be able to come back? What do we have, a month left or something like that in the regular season? How much time does he need to sort of ramp himself back up there if he misses some time but is able to return?
It's tricky, man, with big men. You know, we're talking about a lot of weight. It's always a little bit more dynamic when we're talking about a guy who weighs 250 plus pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is different. They got a lot of pressure, a lot of weight on those joints and those knees, you know, so we'll see. But Carl's a resilient guy. He's a hard worker. He's a guy that lives in the gym. I would imagine that he'll be able to come back from this pretty soon.
Let's hope that he can, because you're right. I mean, they're having a dream, like a magic carpet ride kind of season. Let's hope that it stays that way. All right, we'll get to the latest information as soon as we get it. In the meantime, some more football misery at the Midway. You're going to hear from Shefty on where the Bears and Justin Fields find themselves right this minute. It's not a pretty spot. Plus, do not miss D-Wood. He's got a lot of frustration to get out of his system today. He's going to be smashing helmets to make free agency predictions next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we're back on Get Up here and back to the NFL approaching free agency. The biggest question remains the future of Justin Fields. I need you to hear this. Yesterday, NFL Live, Shefty laying out the market and laying out where we are right now. Listen to this.
The issue is there's so many moving parts at the quarterback position, and they're going to have to find somebody who specifically wants Justin Fields to fit that team's offense and is willing to surrender the draft pick compensation that it will take to get him. So there are some variables here that Chicago is working through, which I think has delayed the process a little bit. I think there are people within that organization that would like to see him stay there too, which is just one more little wrench to throw in there. A lot going on with Justin Fields. It should be sorted out here in the next week.
Okay, there's nothing better than watching Shefty checking his phone while he's talking. Is everyone as entertained by that as I am? Just to be clear, let's just clear up that last part he said there, because all my friends in Chicago are going to lose their minds. Like, is there a world in which now they decide they don't like the compensation, so they don't trade him?
No, you can't have him come back there. No. There's one thing for people in the building, whether that be coaches that are on the staff or other personnel guys.
DJ Moore loves him, yeah.
Yeah, DJ Moore, best teammate ever. That's different than GM Ryan Poles, who also had the number one pick last year, traded it away. Now he has the number one pick now. That's different than him saying, oh, let's bring him back. No, they're not going to bring him back. You can't have, whether it's Caleb, Jaden, and Justin Fields. So that's a recipe for disaster.
All right, so everyone is playing the negotiating game here, right? All these teams are trying to force the Bears to panic and take less than they otherwise might get. And so take me through the mindset if you're Ryan Poles, Mike T. You've played this game. It's a high-stakes game of poker they're playing. You're the GM of the Bears now. You know you need to trade him, and you're trying to maximize what you can get for him. How do you play that?
Yeah, while he won historically great last year and did an unbelievable job, unfortunately for the Bears, it's just not tracking that way. And Greeny, every day we go by, it's going to get harder and harder. Kirk Cousins is going to sign with a team. Russell Wilson will eventually resolve itself. If I'm Ryan Poles, I am making the best trade I can as soon as possible. It gives closure. It lets you draft, presumably, Caleb Williams, but it also gives Justin Fields a fresh start. The worst thing they could do is take this past the draft, because that will just eat up the oxygen of the entire organization.
Ooh, Nate, eat up the oxygen. Yeah, that's a bar, Mike T.
Dominique, go.
Yeah, I think getting past free agency when these other quarterbacks settle into place might give Ryan Poles a little more leverage. But I think it's also important to understand that you can't win every game and you can't win every trade. And I feel like once they got the first pick and they know that they're going to get their quarterback of the future, it's more important to move on from Justin Fields than it is to optimize the compensation for him. So I understand Ryan Poles has done a pretty good job up until this point in the decisions that he's made and setting up this team for success. But understanding that right now, you may not necessarily get what you deserve for Justin Fields, but you do need to get him on to his next situation so that you can start anew. You can't go into camp, obviously, or the offseason situation with Justin Fields still on your roster.
Okay, and I was going to ask D. Wood, but you know what? Rather than just ask Damian Woody where he thinks Justin should wind up and all the other free agent quarterbacks, let's do it a little differently. Let's smash the helmets.
Yes!
Welcome to the most dangerous segment. Big man, tiny helmet. Get the goggles ready. That went right by my face.
Things just got real.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn to the side.
Graziano's got a lot of potential.
Holy
smoke.
There's no coming back from that. I think that might be my best.
All right, so as only he can, D. Wood is going to smash some tiny helmets to make his free agent predictions. Actually, these are not predictions, to be clear. This is what he thinks the best fits are. So I'm going to mention a quarterback, and then you're going to smash the two helmets, or in some cases, it's a three-helmet choice of the teams that you don't like. So we're going to start with Justin Fields. Is that down here? Yeah, this is Justin Fields. No, Justin is down here. The Falcons...
We've got the Patriots,
and we've got the Steelers. So smash one of the teams you do not think Justin should go to. Hit me.
Yeah.
I got hit again.
Yeah. Again?
Yes. I think it hit the paper that time.
Okay.
I think it hit the paper.
Yeah, okay.
Why no New England?
Yeah, I think that New England total rebuild, I think New England more than likely is probably going to draft a quarterback. I just don't think that Justin Fields is going to be in their plans.
All right, so which other one are you smashing?
Oh, boy. What?
You want him to go to Atlanta?
Yeah, with those weapons that they got, Kyle Pitts, you got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, they got a pretty good offensive line. They play indoors. He's from Atlanta.
I'm disappointed.
Makes a lot of sense.
I like it too. Everyone keeps telling me the offense they're going to run doesn't fit what he does well. Otherwise, just from a personnel standpoint, I totally agree with you. All right, the next one, Kirk Cousins. We only have two options here. We have the Falcons or the Vikings. Smash the one you don't want to see him.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoa. All right. So you want to see him stay in Minnesota?
I just think that, you know, Kevin O'Connell, like they seem like they got something really good going on. Obviously, Justin Jefferson there. They got to figure out the contract situation with Justin Jefferson. But remember, Greeny, like last year before his Achilles, he was literally having his best season as a pro.
He was. Kmart.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would rather see him stay in Minnesota. But if there's a free agent destination, to me, Atlanta makes the most sense. For the reasons that D. Wood outlined for Justin Fields.
All right. And finally, we're going to do Russell Wilson. Now, everyone wants to see Kimberly smash one of these. So we're going to do this advisedly. Oh, yeah. America wants to see that. So let's start. We got three options for Russell Wilson. We got the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Steelers. Smash one of them, D. Wood.
I'll let Kimberly smash.
Smash.
Go ahead.
Wait,
Kimberly.
And this is the team that I don't want to see.
You don't want him. You do not want to see. Okay.
Are you okay? Wow. Who has more aggression here?
Yeah. Okay. So no Steelers.
No Steelers for Russell.
No Steelers for Russell Wilson. And then you smash the other one. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
there we go.
Boy,
there we go.
You want to see him wind up with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah, I just think the Raiders will be a situation. Bridge quarterback. Russell will have an opportunity to kind of try to reestablish himself in the AFC West.
Wow. And there was a... We took on some danger there, but in the end, everything worked out.
There was no Giants helmet for me out here.
First Take is coming up next. Are the Lakers still a threat in the West? Was last night's loss a bad game or a bad sign for the Bucks? Plus the latest on the big injury news in the NBA. First Take, top of the hour on ESPN.
Boom.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we wrap up for the day, just I want to show everyone that is exactly what I thought is what happened that did hit my scripts. See that?
Brady grazed it. Came so close to it being the end. Yes, look how close that came.
Do I look like a Marvel character, like defending myself?
Exactly like a Marvel character, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly like somebody saving the world.
Could I have that? And could that be in my future, do you think?
Like
I have
Ant-Man.
I have a shot at that.
Well, you got to deal with the back.
I'll be working on it as the day goes on. All right, a fun day today. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.